Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk will now be one of the shows featured on the new Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. The Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast team have put together a lineup of rotating shows throughout the month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I'll continue to be the host for this fun show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesday features Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. It is such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and I hope you try them all. Tonight on Circle Talk, we'll be doing divination with her Tarot Wheel of the Year spread with Reverend Mari Powers. Besides being a Circle Sanctuary minister, Mari is a master Tarot and Oracle card reader. She's been helping clients find guidance from the invisible universe through her readings for over 30 years. She has a passion for helping people uncover the answers to some of life's most difficult questions, and she believes in empowering people so that they can come to really trust themselves. One way she does this is in her Tarot card reading classes, which she's offered since 1980. Besides reading and teaching Tarot classes since 1980, she's a Reiki 2 initiate and a master in guided meditation. In addition, Mari is an ordained minister for Circle Sanctuary and facilitates rites of passage, such as weddings, memorial services, and child blessings. She also teaches on a wide variety of subjects, including guided meditation, tarot reading, storytelling, poetry, how to construct a custom ceremony, astrology, connecting with your power animals, and being called by deities and gods. She lives in Madison, Wisconsin. She loves gardening, poetry, rituals, cooking, teaching, and learning. Let's bring her on and find out more. Welcome, Mari.
Hello. This is Mari, and I am really happy to be a part of this show again. It's been a couple years, I think, maybe almost, or a year and a half, something like that.
It is, and you are such a great guest, and I love this list of all the classes you teach, because those are like different shows we could have. So anyway, I know Mari, she's wonderful, so I'm very, very excited to have you on here in Circle Talk.
Well,
tell
I have to make
listeners
a shameless plug here.
Go ahead.
I work at Mimosa, but I also want to give a shout out to my peeps at Cosmic Delights, both stores in Madison that I connect with and teach out of sometimes. And Mimosa has just moved into a beautiful new space at 410 State Street instead of 440. So it's literally kitty corner across the street. And I will be able to teach classes for 6 to 8 people in the reading space that I have.
That's great. And I've got here, if you are interested, you can call Mimosa at 608-256-5432. And are there certain times and dates that you are automatically there for readings?
I am generally there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturdays, but do check because, you know, sometimes readers change dates with each other,
right?
Or you know, you need coverage or whatever. Like, so it would be good to check the Mimosa website, or you can contact me directly at, go ahead, Deb.
www.maripowers.com.
MariPowers.com,
because I was going to say a lot of our listeners don't live anywhere near Madison, Wisconsin. Can they still get a reading from you if they live, say, in Iowa?
Oh, they can live across the country. I also do phone readings, and I do them at Mimosa, and if necessary, I can schedule them for times where I'm not there, depending on their timing needs. They can email me directly, or they can schedule a phone reading with Mimosa. It works the same way as the one I'm going to be doing with you tonight, which is actually a phone reading. The only difference is instead of giving the cards to you to give them a shuffle, I get to become your hands, and you tell me when
okay.
to stop. We'll get to that later.
Okay. Well, tell
so
me, I'm so interested
in. I do.
I'm so interested in beginnings. So tell me why tarot and why divination and how this got started for you.
Oh, for me, it was kismet. I walked into a quote, a cult, unquote, store when I was 15. And believe me, that was something completely unknown in my small Illinois town of 70,000. And the woman who was the proprietor, named Catherine Frey, started talking, and I realized she was talking about me. And she felt compelled to give me a tarot deck and a book about candle magic. So
uh-huh.
that was my beginning. And through all the different world religions, pagan religions, and the craft path that I follow, tarot has been my companion. And I continue to learn, and I'm never bored.
Tell us
so
a little bit about,
story.
I mean, tarot's pretty ancient, isn't it? I mean, it's been around for quite a while.
At least 300 or 400 years, yes.
Yeah.
There's an article on my website called The History and Mystery of Tarot, and that gives a little bit of background. And then there's some funny stories about how the tarot was outlawed, how it's used today. I mean, even today in France, you will find people who have dinner together, and then at families,
mm-hmm.
friends, and then they'll bring out a deck of tarot cards over dessert, and they'll do a storytelling where one person will draw a card, and they'll tell a story until they hit a major card, and then it goes to the next person who has to continue the story. So
that's
a fun tradition. And tarot became very popular in France and Italy, but only really rich people could have cards because they had to be hand-painted or wood-cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then the church kind of got upset about, you know,
mm-hmm.
not being able to fit it into their whatever, their cosmology.
Mm-hmm.
And so they outlawed all card playing for a long time. And I'll bet you there's a whole bunch of decks in the basement of the Vatican. Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, how 78 cards still live to become our 52-card playing deck.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
So What do you use, a specific deck, or do you use different decks for different things?
I use all kinds of different decks, and when I read for people in person, or if they're aware of some of the decks that I have, even by phone, they can choose a deck. There are subtle differences, but given the structure of tarot, every single
mm-hmm.
tarot deck has 78 cards. The first one is always Zero, the Fool. The last one is always 21, the World or the Universe, in the major arcana. And they're always,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's always court cards. There's always the 1 through 10 face cards. And they have very similar meaning. Some cards are a little more slippery than others and tend to change more from deck to deck. But yeah, I don't think there's a deck I couldn't read.
Do you? Can you read for yourself?
I can, and that's been a really kind of really late process, really maybe only in the last year and a half where I could kind of trust it most of the time. But when something is very emotional for me, I definitely call someone else and ask them to read. At least
yeah,
for confirmation.
I have friends who do divination, and they say they're not sure why it speaks very clearly for other people. And again, some people and not for others, but they always feel like there's a cloud, or they, and it may be what you just said, they don't trust it themselves, but they can't seem to read for themselves.
Yeah, if I'm emotionally distraught and I can't pull up that boundary barrier, you know, and I don't know, kind of disassociate myself or be more objective, most of the time I'll get readings that are like, I have no idea what these cards mean. Well, that's a ridiculous thing for me, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I'm getting just
that's
a little
so
better, nice. But it's taken almost my whole life. So there you go.
That's it's interesting. So explain the process for people who have not had a reading. And I know you do it a little bit different. I think everybody does a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But someone comes in and they're going to do a reading. What is their expectation, or what do you tell them?
Well, I have custom layouts that I've created, or a few that I have adopted. And depending on the length of time that they have, you know, I will offer them a choice of layout. I will give them examples of how to word questions, not to ask for yes, no answers or either or,
okay,
because that's really two questions. How to get the most out of a reading, you know, by making, you know, it kind of a broad statement, but maybe focused on a particular area of your life.
Okay.
They choose a deck. I clear the deck. I ask to be a guide for them. I ask that any guide or for you, that they have with their best interest in mind come in. And then I give the cards to the other person. This is face-to-face. And have them shuffle and inside of themselves to ask a silent question. I don't know what the question is. I don't want to know. Or at least generally not. And that leaves me more open to intuition. So you're going to do a reading, you know, tonight that we call, or that I call your personal wheel of the year. And so I know it's going to be this shape and it's going to be thematic, but I'm not going to know whether you decide to leave it open in general or to focus on a particular area of your life, for an example. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't want to know until I'm done.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And,
all right. Do you want to start?
Yes, I would. So you have the layout in front of you, and
yes,
first of all, I'd just like you to take a breath with me. I've already cleared these cards. I've already asked for guidance for myself to be an open channel for you. Now, I would like you to think about this wheel of the year. Know that it has five cards. One is the big theme for the year, and that's going to be in the center, a major card, the first one we come to. And then you're going to have four, like a wheel, just like a wheel around it. You know, so the first card will be in the upper left, and it'll be the first 3 months of this new year. And I understand that what you've picked for a date is Friday the 10th, where we have a full moon in Cancer.
Right.
And so all of the energy of a full moon and whatever connections you have to it, you know, come into play. And you should be feeling the shadow of the theme, because we're very close to that date, and maybe of the first 3 months. The other ones may or may not be surprising. It probably will be.
Okay.
So, I'm going to be your hands, okay? And I'd like you to think about your wheel of the year. And you can even set a time for it to start on Friday. And I'd like you to ask the universe to give you answers and information that are accurate, helpful, and most of all, easy to understand.
Okay.
And when you feel like you've been heard, you're going to tell me when to stop shuffling.
Okay. Stop shuffling.
Got it. That was our mystic pause. Okay. Okay. So the first card is really going to make me work for it, and I got it. It's the first trump that I came to. And on your piece of paper or a hypothetical piece of paper or whatever,
mm-hmm.
this card is the major card, number 18, the moon. And by the way, the name of this deck is Merry Day, spelled M-E-R-R-Y-D-A-Y. And the moon, of course, is number 18 in every tarot deck. Yet this deck has little bits of writing on the card, and that writing, like keywords, is healer and cyclical. So this is your theme for the whole year, and I'll get back to that after we at least name the other cards.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so starting on
so card one was the moon.
Right, and that goes right in the center because that's kind of like your theme for the whole year.
Okay.
So the first 3 months of that, starting with the full moon, is a difficult card to negotiate. Of course, you have free will, so you can choose how to manage this challenge in the best way possible. It is the Three of Swords, and the writing on the card is introspection. The type of card that it is an air card, so it has to do with the mind. So that's just the beginning. 3 months, so you go February 10th, you know, March, April, you know, that 3 months. And then the next card you put in the first of the fourth month, the 10th.
Right.
Okay, this one, is actually the King of Pentacles. And the writing on the card is keen, strong, and patient. In this deck, he is referred to as the Winter King. And he is an Earth court card. So not just Earth, but he's a court card. Okay, then the third quadrant of your year is in this deck called the Water Warrior. In any other deck or traditional decks, it would be called the Knight of Cups. And the writing on the card is tsunami and release. These are both really positive, interesting court cards, and they kind of go together. Then for the last part of this new moon year, you have the Seven of Pentacles. That's one of the cards that gets changed from deck to deck. This is a very positive version of it. The writing on the card is fulfillment. And it is an Earth card. The Water Warrior is, of course, a water court card.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the layout. So the theme of the year is that through these cards, throughout, will be the fine tuning of your own cycles, flow, and ebb, your intuition, your psychic perceptions, your gifts, learning to develop and protect them. It is the healer because it teaches us about knowing in our hearts when to move and when to wait. When is that tide coming in? When is it going out?
Mm-hmm.
Also, it helps us to discern what is a true psychic hit, knowing, you know, dream, whatever happens, synchronicity, versus what is a worry or an anxiety or a fantasy, you know, to be able to understand what the difference is. And
okay.
So this will be more connection with the moon. Gosh, I just heard an article on NPR where it related scientifically the four phases of the moon to different chemicals that are released in the human body.
Oh.
You'll be happy to know that the full moon releases serotonin.
Oh, good.
It's a time to party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or have a baby, as hospitals will tell you. Not for you, though. This is your theme of the year, is rolling with the moon, getting in touch
okay.
with your heart, knowing however that comes to you, okay?
Okay. So my theme is getting in touch with my heart.
And your intuition.
Okay.
Your heart knowing. Now,
okay.
For some people, this comes in dreams. Others, clairaudience. Others, visions. Others, synchronicities. I mean,
okay.
The list goes on and on because there are so many ways.
Right.
That the universe is speaking. It's just on how we listen. So, yes, develop and protect any psychic gifts that you have.
Okay.
And that will help you throughout the year and into the next.
Okay.
The growing time. The very first card is the Three Months, and I said it's kind of a challenging card. It's very interesting that the heart suit was originally the suit of cups. And yet,
mm-hmm.
the Three of Swords in many tarot decks shows a bloody heart. It's like, why? Why would you put a heart in an air suit that has to do with the mind? And I really
mm-hmm.
think that this deck perhaps taught me the answer to that, because I don't think I read it in any book. But it has a picture of a heart, and within it there is a man who's kind of in the thinker pose, but not quite as upright as he perhaps could be. You know, almost like,
mm-hmm.
oh, no. And you can see this red energy behind him, but in the font you can see the sun shining in. And it came to me in this introspection that when you do too much navel gazing and overanalyzing, your mind can actually be capable of breaking your own heart by how you think.
Interesting.
Well, yes, it is, because the brain sends out all of these neurons and chemicals and triggers all these things some people understand, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely can affect your feelings by how you think. What is less known, or and is now being able to be studied, is you can also go from the heart, which would be the work of the moon, and send signals to your brain. Your heart actually has more electricity, and it also has a neural network, which they've now begun to study scientifically, and it's a well-known fact that people who lead with their heart are happier.
Absolutely.
So this will be a time for you to, look inside yourself, but at some point stand up and walk into the sun. And focus on your heart knowing.
Okay.
And then in the second quadrant of the year, you will be taking on a persona, because the court cards are becoming, and most often they represent the person asking the question. It doesn't matter that you're a king or a queen. I mean, it's gender neutral in the sense that kings are yang and queens are yin. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So kings are like more proactive. So you're going to be very proactive about becoming the ruler of your own actions.
Ooh.
You're going to be sovereign. You're going to have both responsibility and authority, which is something that only kings and queens, or perhaps empresses and emperors, have.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of people that are earth people and the queen and king are adepts at this, are people who are using their good old common sense. They're the farmers. They're the earth stewards. They're also the people who put on their boots and walk a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're generous. They're frugal. They love beautiful things, but they're likely to catch a sale or go to a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
And they're generous and protective. Closely aligned with nature. They find peace and solace in the great outdoors or in cooking and herbs. So that'll be the focus of you really coming into your own in terms of the actions that you take. And they will contribute toward your financial stability and your health.
Okay.
Because they're about the body. Body is earth. Then the third quadrant of the year is, as I said, the Knight of Cups, also called here the Water Warrior. And this will be a time when you'll also be an adept, but in a different kind of way, because knights function as role models. So you'll be taking on the role of a role model. Everybody wants to be the knight in shining armor, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you've studied for some years to learn this. And this
mm-hmm.
shows a very prickly mermaid riding a big fish, and she has a big silver cup with bubbles coming out. But she is well-scaled, and she has a unicorn horn coming out of her head. Like I said, this is a very multi-species deck.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the knight teaches us in order to serve the realm is they're a role model to others, and what they teach people is to have a positive attitude of gratitude and grace. The cup is full. Raise the cup high, right? And you can write out any tsunami, and it'll be a form of release.
Okay.
You know, you can you're empathic, and these people, the water people, are the most intuitive people, who really can count on their hunches when they practice. So this is really where the moon, you're going to be taking actions, but then the moon is going to call this persona for you the third portion of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so what renews and enhances them is their love of beauty. inspirational music, art. And they're well armored. They generally have a cup in front of them, a big cup in front of their heart, or they're scaly or prickly, or they have a big amulet on their heart because one of their things is to teach us that we can have a big, generous, loving, compassionate, open heart without wearing it on our sleeves for other people to stomp on. And they're really good. They're the best customer service people you could ever meet.
All right.
They know. They're empathic. They know how people, you know, what they want to
react.
You know what I mean. Good service there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final quadrant of the year, as I said, the suit of earth is action, taking action. And this is the very, every suit has an odd card, and this is the odd card in Pentacles and Earth, because this is the taking very little or no action card. And it shows this guy sitting on a great big old pumpkin, looking out over his garden. And there's even some kids in the background, kind of a farm setting. And everybody's looking at the harvest to be. And it's still, you know, not late in the fall season. This is early-ish when the first things come in. But you know that this farmer is contemplating, well, what do I need to weed? What do I need to water? What else can I plant to get a short-term crop? And they're feeling happy and proud. It's the card of the appraisal of your actions and what your intention to grow in your garden was and what else you will need to do. But for now, there's appraisal and appreciation. And so you'll be in that mode for the last 3 months of your personal year. Do you have any questions?
Yes. So my question was a real wide question. It was on what in the upcoming year, what one thing or what type of focus should I have that I haven't really been doing?
Yeah.
So it looks like intuitive.
Yeah, the big focus. And there's a lot of times with other people, I recommend a couple books. Can I do that now?
Okay. Absolutely.
One is The Rational Psychic, written by a man named John Rourke, R-O-U-R-K-E. And he did not know he was a psychic or want to be a psychic, and things started happening. And he wrote a beautiful book that's easy to read, and he goes out and he explores all about what is and what is not a psychic phenomena. And he identifies things that are not, and he identifies things that are compellingly are. And he very clearly states that just because you're psychic, it doesn't make you better than anybody else. You could be an athlete or a musician. You know, you could have other skills. That's fine. But if you do have this gift, it takes practice. Okay? And you need to be rational. You need to have your feet firmly grounded. That's one I like. Another one is Impossible Realities by a woman named Maureen Cahill. And I think it's C-A-H-U-H-I-L-L. But again, Impossible Realities. You can find them, Half Christ, online. And hers is another storytelling book by a rational very rational computer programmer type neuroscientist, it is beautifully written. She tells us the story of the black swan.
Ooh.
So those are a couple you may want to look at, and you just go from there.
So in looking at my reading, what is there anything overriding that you see, or is there any thoughts that you would have that I could meditate or to think about?
Well, with the full moon coming up and this beginning on the full moon, I'm going to make a recommendation that you begin to work on getting out of your own analytical way.
Right. Yes.
And
I'm
lift
in
up
my
your
head a lot more. Yes.
Lift up your head, stop navel gazing, and focus your intention on the full moon at, you know, looking at the full moon and the sun calling you. And tell yourself that this is, you know, part of a process of getting out of your head and finding the rest of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it came up as the first card, and it's like, oh, gosh, I really don't want to tell Deborah this.
But it is true.
It's my code of honor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because I think, unlike other years, I have a lot of things going on, and including a new role at work that's super hectic and super time consuming. So I am in my head a lot more than I used to be.
Right. And the next 3 months says the best way to solidify this is to get more into your body and to take control
right.
of your own actions. And then the next thing to do is to become a role model for going with the flow and a positive attitude and using your intuition and hunches and trusting them. Pretty perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 3 months, you get to sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor in this garden.
There you go. That's nice.
And plan for the future with good common sense, just like a farmer.
Absolutely.
So I will take a picture of these, which is something that I always do on a phone reading, and send them to your personal phone. There's no way that
okay.
we can really show them online. But with the names and everything with the cards, people can look them up on different decks. Just be aware that,
right.
again, the Seven of Pentacles can be shown as a person who is, like, exhausted and close to sunstroke, and you need to drag them into the shade. All
right.
the way
it depends on
to
the deck.
Other side. Yeah, it depends on the deck, and this is the deck I chose.
Okay.
So I always go with the deck.
Why did you – did you have a – do you – is this a deck you like? Why did you choose this particular deck?
I love this deck. It's
you do?
The most,
okay.
Multicultural, multi-species, progressive deck that I have.
Yeah. Do you find...
I honor the author very much for her work.
Do you find that certain decks speak to you more than others?
Absolutely. Without any
yeah.
doubt. And everybody has different, you know, some people bring in decks that I'm like, ooh, that artwork is kind of creepy or gothy
right.
or whatever, you know, and yet it resonates with them. You know, it just, you know, the only time I don't support someone's choice of a deck in a way is if, well, I personally have chosen to get away from all the medieval types. Done. But the only time I would ever say anything about a person's choice of a deck is if it didn't follow the structure. I mean, I've seen decks that had 79 cards, and, you know, they threw in one for the millennium or something. Okay, fine. You can
right.
deviate like that. But you start giving me, you know, 85 cards in the deck, or calling it a tarot deck when it has 52 or something,
right.
you know, that's an oracle deck. That's not a tarot deck. That's right. Only
tell our
distinction
listeners
I make.
What the difference between a tarot and an oracle deck are, because I know you also can read oracle decks.
Oh yeah, but each oracle deck is so different that you have to learn it individually. Tarot is old and has a structure.
Okay.
So all tarot decks, you know, in quotes, have 78 cards. They have 40 face cards,
mm-hmm.
and they have 16 court cards, including the knights, which were taken out of the 52-card deck when the church went ballistic on the Knights of Templar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there is the 0 to 21. You add the 22, you get 78 cards. It's like a relational database.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, the fire and the air are yang suits, and the water and the earth are yin suits. And then you usually have multiple genders, depending on the deck, portrayed in different roles or whatever. For the court cards, and that's a tarot deck.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, anybody, Barbara Walker, if she was a consultant on it, it's good. I recommend Shadowscape for beginners, which is very detailed and say not medieval but very accurate and has a great book. So
okay.
And then there's steampunk deck, which doesn't resonate with me, but it certainly does with others, and it works. So and then an oracle deck, or the very first
yeah.
oracle deck was called the Medicine Cards, and they were based on Native American animals,
mm-hmm.
and they were created somewhere around the late 70s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big difference. But they've grown. You know, you have Brian Froud's Oracle deck, which is deep and profound, two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these stupid little ones that are like, oh, pull a affirmation of the day, and it's a few words. It's like you could just go to the Chinese restaurant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they vary widely. Doesn't mean there aren't some beautiful ones. But I tend to
right.
use less cards, my oracle cards, you know, not
mm-hmm.
to go over three or four at the max. And, like I said, you have to put some time in to learn each one individually.
Absolutely. When somebody comes for you for initial reading, is
mm-hmm.
is this the spread you typically do, or what are some favorite spreads that you like to do, or do they pick the spread?
They pick the spread. This is one that I'm beginning to promote more because it's just resonating with me, although I've used it for a long
mm-hmm.
time as a birthday reading.
Mm-hmm.
The most common one that I use is my, quote, upgrade, unquote, to the past, present, future oldest spread in the world. And I don't
mm-hmm.
have a past, present, future. What I have is a root, which can be past or move into present and future if it's a major card. If
mm-hmm.
not, it's recent past. But it is the root. It's the motivation. It's the why. It's
mm-hmm.
the what's it all about, Elfie, you know? And then the second card
mm-hmm.
is the now, except that now is the accordion. Everything is now. And so
mm-hmm.
it's what the universe reveals to you as being most important for you to pay attention to now, which could be 3 weeks or 3 months. You're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the now. And then the third card is the most probable future, because you know what? You always have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And if a major card comes up in that position, it makes the most probable future more probable. It's always Trump. And it comes from the word triumph.
Mm-hmm.
In French.
Mm-hmm.
Tarot has a silent T because it's also French.
Mm-hmm.
and it means wheel, as one of its meanings. And so basically, you have a structure to work with Tarot, always. But I changed and upgraded that one, and that is my most popular one. I know I can do it in 15 to 20 minutes, so it's not as expensive for people who are new.
Right.
And then I've added a fourth card that I call Advice from Your Guides. Now, I always ask advice from your guides, whether I do it silently or out loud, you know, whisper in my ear. But in this one, you actually have a fourth card, which is not part of the reading, but it's advice or a comment on the reading.
Okay.
And people really like that.
Yeah, that is.
That is the one I do the most.
If someone wanted to study Tarot, how do you advise them, or how do they start?
Get a good beginner deck with a good book. I mean, I mentioned Shadowscape, but there's also steampunk, you know? I personally have been guiding people away from the basic Rider-Waite or Aleister Crowley. I mean, that belongs back before World War I. And both of them were painted and created by women who didn't get credit in their lifetime. So I have a little prejudice there, although I love the art, especially, you know, but I feel that, you know, anyway. So you need a good deck. The next thing to do is to learn the elemental cards, 1 through 10 in each of the decks. You're going to find differences between the elements. Numerology comes into play. And then the next is to look at the court cards as people or personas. Get to know them and the roles that they play. And then begin the journey of the Fool. Remembering that it starts with zero, it ends with 21, but 21 leads to zero. Just as 10 leads to the Ace. These are all circles. So the Fool is infinite possibility, a new adventure, and the world is the culmination of a journey foretelling the beginning of a new one, a harvest. So you need to work your way through those meanings. You're going to find more commonality with the major cards. And people's opinions are very different on the court cards. Some people see them more as other people. Some people like me see them more as part of you. And then the 1 through 10s and the slippery 7s and sometimes 8s. And you can take a class with me. You know,
absolutely.
If you
want to. Now, do you teach at Mimosa, or do you teach online? Or if someone's interested in classes, how can they get with you?
You can come to Mimosa, and my recommendation is to get together with at least 2, if not 3, other people that you're friends with and split the costs. Because otherwise it becomes too prohibitive for most people, I think.
Right. Right.
And it takes at least 4 or 5 sessions of at least an hour apiece. So, you know, add
that's
it up.
That's a long class. Yeah.
Right. But the benefit of that is that you guys, you know, your group calls the schedule. We're going to take the first class, and 3 weeks later, we're going to take the second one, and so on like that. And if anybody gets sick or something happens, you guys can cancel and reschedule the
and
class.
Make it up.
And that way, nobody gets left out. to make it up on their own.
Yeah.
We can also do it by conference call. And I can show different decks on an online kind of program, and I have some printed material that I can send to people. So it can also be a joint kind of Zoom or conference call.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So,
you have options.
Someone, go ahead.
I'm done. You have options.
I was going to say, if someone comes in for a reading, do you have regulars? How often do people typically come in for readings?
Oh, it varies so widely. I have people that come to me and they haven't been to me in 3 years.
Okay.
I have people who come almost religiously every 3 to 4 months or
mm-hmm.
once a year.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people during times of trial. Sometimes I've had people come once a week. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I discourage them from coming any more often than that because you need time to let things change and settle in.
Right.
Most regulars are anywhere between 3 to 5 months unless they're in a time of major transition.
Right, yeah.
And they get travelers, too. I mean, being in Madison, we get people traveling in for the holidays or traveling home for the holidays or coming to conferences. So I meet people that way, and sometimes then that develops into phone readings in the future.
So I thought this was very nice. I have never had a phone reading before. So,
okay.
It is very personal. And so,
yeah.
Yes, I mean, it is, and you send the pictures of the cards. So, yeah, this is very, very nice. Do you have, do you do a lot of phone readings like this?
I do. Not a lot. I mean, what is a lot to you and what's a lot to me? I don't know. I could probably do 2 or 3 a week. On my off time, you know, where people might call me, that would be
right.
An
That's
amount.
A lot for me. Yeah, that yeah.
Yeah. And then while I'm at work, I never know. I mean, there's people that live right in Madison, but they've got a little kid and they don't want to leave their house or the weather's bad or something
right.
like that, you know. But there's also people who will call from California or Seattle. You never know. The oddest phone reading I ever did was
mm-hmm.
I was talking to a woman in Madison who speaks fluent Thai. That's her native language.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been a client of mine for a long time, who had a Thai friend who lived and worked in London as a chef who wanted a reading. So I did the reading. And then it got translated into Thai over Skype to London.
Oh, that's so funny.
It worked.
Oh, yeah. That's just so funny. So how do you,
that
I just find this so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get messages? I mean, as you're reading the cards, do you get like a sensation or do things come in your head or do you hear things? How do you get a how does your intuition play into your readings?
When I shuffle the cards to clear them, I get a definite body sensation when they're cleared. When I ask for
okay.
an open channel, I get another one, you know, like a rippling or a tingling or a, something in my ear that goes on to my shoulder or something like that. When
so
I feel
that you know.
Yeah, when I feel the presence of a guide come in, I can feel presence. I can't tell you how, but I feel presence somewhere, again, in
mm-hmm.
my body.
Right.
And then when I'm reading, I just read, and sometimes I'll, you know, there's so much that you could say about every single card, especially the majors. But what I say is not always the same. Even if it's the same mm-hmm. card in the same position, and I don't know why that is, but I just say it, or if I get a flash of something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a little more clairaudient than it is clairvoyant. I mean, once in a while I'll get pictures in my head, but for the most part it'll just, sometimes it'll come through my ear so fast it tumbles out of my mouth without me noticing, but I think that's how it happens.
Oh, wow. So, but you're clairvoyant is seeing pictures?
Hmm?
Clairvoyance is seeing pictures in your head. And what is clairaudience?
Hearing.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a psychic sense for every physical sense. And a few extra.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we say something smells fishy around here?
Absolutely.
Are we, right. So, scent, you know, all the scents is have a physical component, a partner, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to learn better when I hear stuff. So I'm kind of audience in my everyday life.
Right. And so it carries over to your psychic ability.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean I don't feel it in my body, which doesn't mean I don't see pictures, but it, or that I don't smell things or even taste things sometimes. But, you know, everybody's different. Actually, most of the population is more visually oriented than auditorily oriented, which is why so much of our media is visually focused. Something that we all take into account when we do ritual, right?
Absolutely.
We want to appeal to all the senses. Yeah.
Well, I can't believe our time. It's been an hour. You are such a wonderful guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really, really enjoyed this. So, and I
really
this,
appreciate it.
I really think it gives all of our listeners a sense of what
mm-hmm.
a tarot reading is like, and also how
can be.
That you don't have to actually be in person. This is a very powerful reading, and it can be done over the phone. And that is not something that I would have ever explored without talking to you. So this has been very nice.
I know, because a lot of those you know, call me now services are like whatever. Anyway,
right.
But you and I will talk. I hope. Again, after the full moon, you know, give me a call and let me know.
I will.
You know, check in. And you've got this record now, so you can look up, Google them, look them up in tarot books, whatever you like.
I will. Thank you so much. And
you're
remember,
welcome.
Everyone, if you want to find out more about Mari or to schedule a reading, go to www.MariPowers.com. I know. That's MariPowers.com. Or you can call Mimosa, where she does readings, at 608-256-5432 in the Madison, Wisconsin area. Besides Mari,
thank
I'd like
you.
To thank David, our sound engineer, for his technical expertise. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, January 21st, and will feature the music of Celia. I look forward to seeing you all again, so please come back. We now will transition our show with a musical selection. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community, circle empowering you and me. The circle.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.